Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. At a potluck one Sunday after church, someone dropped a plate full of dessert on the floor. This is how people with different spiritual gifts would respond to a situation like that. Someone who has the gift of service. Oh my, let me help you clean that up. Gift of teaching. The reason that it fell was because it was too heavy on one side. Gift of exhortation. It's okay, don't be discouraged. Next time, maybe you should let someone else carry the dish. Gift of giving. Here, you can have my dessert. Gift of mercy. Don't feel too bad. Could have happened to anyone. Gift of ruling. Jim, someone, you get the mop. Sue, please help pick this up. Mary, would you get her another dessert? Gift of prophecy. I could have told you that that was going to happen. Gift of evangelist. It's good news that the dish, it didn't break. Gift of pastor. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 27, it says, the dogs will eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. We've all been gifted differently, and so we act and we react differently, and we serve the Lord differently according to how the Lord has gifted each of us. Every believer has unique God-given abilities. There's a lot of emotions, there's a lot of reactions when it comes to the subject of spiritual gifts. A lot have uncertainty over their gifts with what theirs exactly is and what gifts are in operation today. Many have guilt over their gifts, unsure if they're using them or doing well with them. Some expect everyone to do what God has gifted them at doing. Some compare their gifts with others and feel proud of their gifts, or others feel like theirs aren't important by comparison to other people. And some selfishly want more public gifts and try to serve by a gift that God hasn't given them at all. Others try to claim all the gifts and end up frustrated and disillusioned when they're not gifted in that way. We need to discover our gifts and be content with how God has gifted each of us. And we need to know that each of us with our gifts are vitally important to the church. R.W. DeHaan writes this, if God made you a teacher, be a teacher and study diligently. If he's given you the gift of compassion, do it cheerfully and don't expect others to do what you do. Accept your spiritual gifts, cultivate your capabilities, stop comparing, and use what you have. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has been showing us the mercies of God and God saving us and empowering us to live a life for him, how he chose to set Israel aside for a time and to have a program for the Gentiles under grace. All of these are mercies of God. Here we are begged in light of these mercies as an act of worship to present our bodies a living sacrifice or to offer our whole self to our Lord, our whole soul, body, mind, and will. This is the basic desire that God lays down for every single believer. It's no different for you than it is for me. God wants my life. That's our entrance into being used by the Lord. Verses 1 through 2 show there is a unity at the level of commitment, as this is God's desire for all of us in the body of Christ. But then verses 3 through 8 show that there is a great variety at the level of service. Paul shows here that there is oneness. We are one body in Christ, but then there is diversity in that oneness. It's like a body that has many members, so the body of Christ has many members. And verse 6 says we each have differing gifts. There are no two believers alike. There are no two of us who serve the Lord exactly alike. There's oneness with distinction and differences in the church. These verses together demonstrate to us that though we all enter the place of being used by the Lord with the same self-sacrifice, from that point there is great variety. A common question is, how do I know what gift or gifts that God has given to me? And you can find surveys with questions, you can find checklists out there, and you can go on the internet and you can find these things too. There are seminars on this, the very question that addressed this. The simple answer to the question is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We will never find or know our gifts, we will never know their potential, until we first live out Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's when we make that one-time and daily decision to offer myself as a living sacrifice, and that I strive by His Word to live a set-apart and acceptable life unto Him, not conformed to this world, transformed by my mind being renewed by the Word of God and through prayer and by being in fellowship with other believers, that then you are going to prove and test and demonstrate the good and perfect will of God in regards to your service and your gifts. The perfect will of God in this context is referring first to the gifts, to what Paul just mentions right after talking about the perfect will of God. It's His will to live by our spiritual gifts. We won't find out God's will regarding our spiritual gifts if we're not living for the Lord. We won't be able to fully define our gifts and see them develop or at work, and we'll find our strengths if we only give the Lord none or a small percentage of our lives and our time. But as we give ourselves as a daily living sacrifice and we serve Him faithfully and sacrificially, we'll begin to see our gifts rise to the top, shine, defined. We'll see their potential and their fullness. So how do I know my gift? First, know that you are gifted. Then present yourself a living sacrifice. Serve the Lord with your whole heart. And then it's also always good to seek confirmation from those you know and trust spiritually. And then when you begin to see it, go for it and do it. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 says this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, I don't believe that we can oversimplify and say cut and dried, that where you group people and you say, these people have the gift of teaching, these people have the gift of showing mercy, and these people have the gift of ruling. You can't group them like that. You have a gift, and it's a blending of giftedness and strengths and talents into a uniqueness that makes you like nobody else, because each person... You take a person that has varying amounts of Bible knowledge. They have different life experiences and pasts. They have their own unique personality. They have different strengths, different opportunities in life. And you get it all mixed together. Every believer in the body comes out distinct, so that every one of us stands alone in the body of Christ with a ministry that no one else can do except you. In these gifts, you may see things that you do in each of them, but your gifts will be the ones that are more dominant, and they come the most naturally and the most enjoyably to you as well. Now, prophecy was a gift at this time, but it has since ceased. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says this, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or cease or pass away. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy ceased with the completion of the Word of God. We don't need any more supernatural revelation from the prophets. We have the whole revelation of God in the Word of God. But you see something here with prophecy being listed first, as it's showing the primacy and the importance of God's Word and His revelation for us to live by. And so it's listed first because that is what's most important. Ministry is the gift of serving. It says, if you have the gift of serving, then get after it. Be serving. In light of the mercies of God is all of these things is why we do them. It's a support gift, a gift of practical help. Could come in a million ways, unique as each individual. There's all kinds of dimensions to this gift. It's seeing a need. It's stepping into a gap when a gap is needing to be filled and helping. Those with this gift rarely have to be told what's needed. They discern needs. They see it. They know how to help. They have the ability to help. Then without request, they act without any need for notice, without any expectation of applause, and they just do it. This gift being high on the list is interesting also. The Spirit wants to highlight that fact that serving, the least public gift, the least honored gift, is an exalted position in the body of Christ. And it's also Christ-like, because Christ said in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 to 45, that whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Doug Sparks writes, in the mountains of Taiwan, I met another navigator missionary who said he had met Navigator's founder, Dawson Trotman. I'll never forget Dawson Trotman, he said. He was one of the most outstanding men I ever met. When asked what Dawson had said that impressed him so much, the missionary replied, oh, I don't remember anything he said. Well, what was so outstanding about him then? And he said, I'll never forget it. He cleaned and shined my shoes. Dawson Trotman is said to have been that kind of person. He loved doing things for people. He found enjoyment in discovering little needs they had and then making it his objective to meet those needs. Servanthood marked his entire Christian life, and he even died as he lived, giving his life to rescue someone else from drowning in 1956. In Dawson Trotman, we see a man who had a gift for ministering to the needs of others and who had the mind of Christ in becoming a servant to all. We see the gift of service in the local church in so many ways. You see it with the music ministry. It amazes me how people can be right out front and be serving in music, and they're some of the least recognized people in the church for the work that they do in the church. You have people that do the weekly bulletin, that clean the church, that do repairs in the church, that take care of the kids in the nursery, the church dinners and all the work that goes into that before and after, and cutting the grass, shoveling the snow, people with meal ministries. The church is dependent on the helpers and the servers.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750.
Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? You can know for sure, and the Bible tells us how. When it comes to heaven, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and we cannot bring sinfulness into God's presence. The Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, and that evil may not dwell with God. You might ask yourself, don't the good things I've done make up for the bad things? Not in the eyes of God. The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. The Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin results in death, and ultimately leads to the second death, which is eternal separation from God in the torments of hell. So, if God can't tolerate sin, and we've all sinned and are hell-bound, is there any hope? Thankfully, yes. God made a provision to save us, and it's a free gift with no strings attached. The Bible says Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Everyone who believes that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose from the dead have all their sins, past, present, and future, paid for and put away. They will have eternal life with God in heaven. Why would God do this for us? The Bible says, because of His great love with which He loved us, He made us alive together with Christ. For by grace have you been saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Trust in God's free gift of salvation to you.
Next is the gift of teaching. We get our word didactic from the Greek word here. This speaks of an informative, educative, systematic training. The gift of teaching is the function of systematically teaching and training people in the Word. It takes them from point A to point B to point C systematically and logically. It's done, we see it in the church, done in one-on-one, small groups, large groups. You see it constantly taking place in the ministry of the local church, in adult and young people's Sunday school classes, in junior church, in various Bible studies, ladies' studies, men's studies, group studies, all of these things that take place in the church and the teaching that takes place. Teachers have the ability to communicate the revealed truth of God with knowledge, ease, and clarity. They are gifted to in bringing the Word of God to life by expounding it, interpreting, unfolding the meaning clearly so you can clearly understand. By the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the Word, they are gifted by God to help others to learn the Word of God. These gifts from God are to be used anywhere. Don't think of them just taking place in the local church. You can minister these things any place, and the best place to start is in the home. If you have the gift of showing mercy, show it to your family. If you have the gift of giving, give it to your spouse and your children. If God uses you to exhort or to teach, encourage your family. Teach your children the Word of God and your grandchildren. If you have the gift of ruling, lead your family first. We should recognize that these are all things God wants us to do. We can rationalize, make excuses by our gifts, saying, well, that's not my gift, and I can't do that. And we can make an excuse, such as, you know, I'd certainly like to give to this person in need, but my gift is not giving. And inside you're going, phew, got out of that one. Or more convicting, I know that person needs to hear the gospel, but my gift isn't evangelism. We may not be gifted or have strengths in these areas, but God uses us in our weakness too. And He makes our weaknesses strong as we step out in faith. We may not have the gift or teaching or ruling, but we can teach God's word and show leadership in our families. And we should help others. We should encourage others. We should show compassion and be giving towards the church and towards all people. Next is the gift of exhortation. This speaks of the gift of encouragement. And this can come in a lot of ways too. It's a very broad thing. It's to put strength in someone else. The world and life can tear you down, break you down, and put you down. We need encouragers in the church to build us back up. Exhortation is also about advising. One with this gift comes alongside someone to urge them to do what's right, to drive God's truth home. They have the ability to give tough talk without offending. It's amazing. You can see it. I've seen it happen, though. They give wise counsel by the word. They give just the right verse that the person just needed at that moment. They say just the right thing at just the right time. They'll pray with you. They'll lift you up. They'll send you a card, a text that comes out of nowhere that keeps you going forward in the encouragement of what they said for days. If that's your gift, don't keep it to yourself. All of us in the church need it, and all of us need you. Next is the gift of giving. Pastor Charles Swindoll writes this: "My life has been crossed by men who have the gift of giving. Maybe yours has also. When I was at Dallas Seminary, God used a man in my life and in the lives of 10 other fellows at the school at that time. Howard Kane chose to underwrite our tuition, absolutely unsolicited. Each time tuition came due, there was a check in the mail. I remember one time he came to Dallas and got all 11 of us together and said, 'I want us to take a drive downtown.' After a sandwich, he took us several blocks away to a men's store. Inside, he suited us up in new suits, new sport coats, one fellow after another. He sat there and just beamed. He was happier than we were. He wasn't wealthy, but there was something inside of him, a spiritual gift, that was not satisfied until there was an outlet for that gift." And that's how it is with the gifts. We need outlets for them, and you find joy through them as we live out how God has gifted us. The word for giving here in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, isn't the normal word for give in the Greek. It's intensified, and it means to super give. All of us are to give, but some have the gift of super giving. The ones that will give you the shirt right off of their back, they take joy in it. They do it without thought. People with this gift, they look for opportunities to give. They offer what they have beyond normal, because sometimes they're wealthy, but more often than not, they're people of average or below average means who give sacrificially of their means and earthly possessions, and they do it without needing any recognition whatsoever. Gifted givers don't want bronze plaques or buildings named after them. They prefer anonymity. They see a need, it jumps at them. They have a burden for it, and they react quickly to meet it. Give with simplicity, the apostle says. Simplicity speaks of a simple-minded, single purpose. And that simplicity is the glory of God for Christ. It's a gift not done with division of motive, hoping someone notices your generosity. It's just done for Christ alone. And Paul mentions the gift of ruling, and he says, if you have the gift of ruling, do it with diligence. Ruling means to stand in front, to oversee, to lead. It's a gift to be done with diligence or earnest care, not in a careless, half-hearted fashion. This is the ability for administration, the ability to organize, to make things happen, cover all the details, get people together, get them moving in the same direction, accomplish the job, see it through, and finish it. The church can't function without this. It needs leadership. God has designed the church to have leaders. The church needs administrators who can keep the church on course with fairness, with wisdom, with vision, with efficiency, and humility. All the gifts that are given here are given in light of verse 3. That all of us are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. Finally, the gift of showing mercy speaks of those who have and show compassion. The gift of compassion and mercy is about people who sense the need of those who are hurting around them, and they know how to comfort. They know when to speak and when to remain silent, and that's a gift. They know when people need space, and they know when they need someone to be there. And they comfort by the word of God in prayer. They show mercy toward those who are in pain or suffering or deprived. They're in the jails. They're down at the hospital. They're at the rescue mission. They're making house visits to the homebound or the lonely. They're at the nursing homes. They reach out to the hurting, the down, and out. Paul says that those with this gift are to do so with cheerfulness. And it's kind of humorous, but that's what people need in those kind of situations. They need cheering up. In other words, don't go to people who are in misery and be miserable around them. Bring cheer to them. Infuse some joy, your joy in Christ, into them. Cheerfulness is important in ministering to people who are going through hard times. It's interesting how Paul writes this passage. He doesn't get into a technical definition of each gift as much as he writes saying, if you got that gift, get at it. It's a call to get moving. He says, you who have been the recipients of the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice and get busy doing what God has called you to do on His behalf. If you have the gift of service, then get serving. If it's the gift of teaching, then get after and get teaching. If it's encouragement, then encourage others. If it's giving, do it with simplicity. If it's ruling, do it with diligence. If it's showing mercy, do it, and do it with cheerfulness. All of this is a call to action. Because Antonio's voice was high and squeaky, he didn't make the tryouts for Cremona Boys Choir. When he took violin lessons, the neighbors persuaded his parents to please make him stop. Yet Antonio still wanted to make music. His friends gave him a hard time because his only talent was whittling. When Antonio was older, he served as an apprentice to a violin maker. His knack for whittling grew into a skill of carving, and his hobby became his craft. He worked patiently and faithfully. By the time he died, he left over 1,500 violins, each one bearing a label that read, Antonio Stradivarius. They are the most sought-after violins in the world and sell for more than $100,000 each. Antonio couldn't sing or play, but his responsibility was to use his ability, and his violins are still making beautiful music today. It's the same for us. Our responsibility is to use the gifts and abilities God has given us for the good of the church, the body of Christ, and to please the Lord who gave us our gifts. Next time we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and what Paul says about everybody being a somebody in the church or the body of Christ. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.